kind of a Uber, but it was blockchain based and, you know, nobody knew and you got paid in crypto. And now they're doing Bitcoin Cash payments and altcoins in Uber rides now. They just, you know, made that to work and go crypto. So they're, of course, going to want to link you into everything. But there's the ecosystem is the possibility has gotten to the point that they don't have to. So the man's not going to dig that. You know, they're going to come slamming down, man, you got to be on the grid. And so that's why we're talking about above the grid. All these grids are made up of, you know, you got the surveillance grid, you got the power grid, you got the water municipal grid, you got the food supply grid, you got the, you know, pretty soon you're in a freaking cage. You know, these grids, all six-sided grid, get one open so you can freaking get away. All right, here we back.
LRN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we got one more segment with James Bovard. I got him all worked up in the break, and he's ready to say, God, Joel, shit. All right, man, your turn. Go.
Hey, what a novelty. Just before the break, you said something was coming. You're trying to figure out what's happening. Oh, they're ramping up these power, these threats. The more I think of it, you know, folks are, some folks are talking about some kind of great permanent victory for freedom. I don't think it's going to happen. I think what we're going to have is a border war between folks who favor freedom and folks who favor unlimited government power. We've had that in some ways in history going way back, and it's going to continue. There's a lot of things the government has done that's mortifying. You know, part of your asking about attention deficit democracy, part of the frustration is that in the last 25 years, it's become a hell of a lot easier to find information on government abuses and federal atrocities. It hasn't stuck. I mean, there's a small number of people, a small percentage, who have gotten very well informed. But for most Americans, it's sort of like, okay, well, you know, let's see what's happening on TV tonight. And they're watching stuff that doesn't nourish their brain, to put it kindly. So it's sort of like that. There's more of a split in society, but it's fascinating to see some of the noise coming out of D.C. There was that congressman Eric from California who was talking. You know, he's in favor of the government seizing all the AR-15s and maybe all the semi-automatic weapons. Some of the gun owners were pushing back, and he tutted them, saying the government had nuclear bombs, so it would win. And it's like when you've got a congressman out there boasting about using nuclear bombs for gun control, it's like, how much further can this go? I don't know. So, but something which I want to mention, I've got a new story up this morning on American Conservative, on AmeriCorps. The president, the former chief of AmeriCorps, Harris Wofford, died last week. And most of the media was putting a halo over him like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's basically a bunch of hooey. He's someone who I interviewed and hammered for an hour. There was a wonderful phrase the Washington Post had. The Washington Post said that cynicism melted around Harris Wofford like snow next to a bonfire. And my response was, hey, not me. He was someone, Wofford is someone I hammered throughout the late 90s. I hit AmeriCorps in Playboy, American Spectator, later beat up on them in Wall Street Journal and USA Today. And the program's a complete boondoggle. What's more important is it can be a stepping stone to mandatory national service for all young Americans. There's a national commission that's pushing that, that's exploring that idea right now. And there's a lot of progressives and others who would love the idea of forcing all 18, 19-year-olds to spend a year in federal service to kind of help straighten out their ideas.
You know, I saw that one Washington Post columnist Michael Gerson gushed. I like this quote. This is good. I'm with you, brother. Cynicism melted around Wofford as if he were a bonfire in the snow. You know, that is such a word picture. And but the point you go on, not from you. Now, you had an article in Playboy, The Return of the Hitler Youth, you know, Was that you or?
That was me. Yeah. That was my article. Bill Clinton in 1997 gave a speech in Philadelphia in which he called for citizen servants and talking about how it's important for everybody to do government-approved service. And here again, that's a stepping stone to mandatory service. That's something a lot of high schools and some states have done now. They've mandated that the teenagers must do X number of hours of community service. If you're doing something for your church, that probably would not be approved. If you're doing something for Planned Parenthood, that would be approved. So go figure. This is not a level playing field.
You know, one of the things I remember, it was in the mid-2000s. One of my sons, you know, he didn't have to do this, and then it changed for my other son. And what it was is when you go and you get them signed up to be able to get their learner's permit for their driver's license, they had to agree. As a parent, I have to agree that when he turns 18, he was going to be automatically put into the selective service of blah, blah, blah. And I go, I ain't doing it. You better get your mom to sign you up or something because my signature is not going, hell no. And if you want to sell yours out, blah, 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 we went through that. I went through the legislature. When did this just happen? How did this happen? You know, yada, 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 yada. And it's that kind of, you know, thing. And it turns into, you know, where does this driver's license thing even come from anyway, and let the insurance companies, you know, you get all this libertarian, you know, black hole that you go into. But the point is that the requirements from the man, you know, citizenship demands whatever the heck it's going to be. And that is not what this country was about at all. And it's just being violated in everything.
Well, yeah, and, you know, when I was writing, I did an investigation with AmeriCorps late 90s, and I traveled around, I saw some of their programs, and, you know, I didn't see many people break into sweat. There was a program of assistant teachers. AmeriCorps gave $1 million to the state of Mississippi to hire these assistant teachers, but the standards were so low that the people in the program only had to read at an eighth grade Mississippi level. So this is not a high standard. Massachusetts, maybe. Mississippi, no. This is the kind of thing that drips of virtue. Therefore, it's very popular in D.C. The whole point of AmeriCorps is to put a smiley face on big government. And that's part of the reason why the program is loved around here. There have been a lot of investigations, Inspector General, GAO, that found that AmeriCorps cannot document its boasts. And sometimes AmeriCorps has been caught lying through its teeth as far as what it's accomplished. It doesn't matter. It's still loved because it puts a smiley face on big government. But this is something that some politicians want to use to impose mandatory service on everybody. And some of these hearings, it's, you know, some people have said, hey, 13th Amendment prohibits involuntary servitude. But you got politicians who act like, well, that doesn't apply to us.
You know, we had, I remember during, how was it, the 04 election cycle or 8? You know, here you have McCain coming up and he goes, oh, yeah, we got to have mandatory, you know, whatever. You know, you got mandatory draft to everybody, damn it. Then you had Obama, you know, we need some brown shirts, man. We got to get, you know, we got to get mandatory service. And then I felt it coming. I'm going, yeah, the next Democratic president comes in, they're going to go, you know what? You need your student loans forgiven? Give us 2 years here in the barracks of going being communist and get on the work plantation of progressive door hanging and, you know, we're good. And I see it coming, this incentivized, indebted, will do, forgive, tax something, you know, for the youth to get in with the program. I mean, is that on your radar screen?
I wouldn't go quite that far, but, you know, there are lots of levers the government can use, lots of carrots and sticks. And a lot of these politicians want to be able to pull in hundreds of thousands of or millions of young folks. This is something that George W. tried to do after 9/11. Bush tried to present a big expansion of AmeriCorps as a part of our fight against terrorism. It was a load of crap. President Obama tried to greatly expand the program when he came in. I mean, you know, it's a very inefficient program, and it has never come close to solving the problem of labor productivity. Instead, you just get all these people wearing gray shirts and gray hats and showing up for photo ops, and that's, you know, it makes the program a success. But it's, you know, it's one of God's prized boondoggles. And I say that as someone who's chased boondoggles for decades.
Yeah, no, it's like a, you know, a Big Brother rally. You know, what was the guy's name? Rosenstein or something? heat! Oh, screw you! They just get all worked up, and it's like, wow, this is. Do you feel a, yellow jacket? Now the yellow jackets got red scarves. They kind of got to differentiate. They got yellow jackets with red scarves now. They're going to go be more wherever the hell. I don't even care. It's just reminiscent of, you know, things in the past and stuff that's coming. And here in America, is there going to be a civil uprising of any kind, you think?
I don't know, but the government's certainly pissing off a lot of people.
Lots and lots of people. All right. You go, you know, Freeman's Phoenix, we got the articles. And then, of course, you go to it's Jim Bovard. Is his own website, Jim Bovard, as it sounds, .com. And you got his most recent here, Remembering an AmeriCorps Boondoggle Boss. You know, you got that all going. Here we go again. And then William Barr's connection to Ruby Ridge, defending FBI snipers. Now he wants to be attorney general. This is, but what's even more weird, Trump wants him to be attorney general. What the hell is going on? Well, all we got to do is ask James Bovard. Hold on a second, James. But thanks for coming on. We got to stay updated with you, man.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
A new medical study.
Yeah, this is. You see where I'm going with it? I mean, I know that through cycles in this kind of stuff, I see it happening again. We're going to have, going into the 2020 thing, they have to have all the shiny objects, distraction of whatever the hell. And at the end of it, there's going to be more power in the executive. There's going to be, they'll say they stop one or two other wars and leave their guys and start three more. And like, I need another U.S. war in this hemisphere. Yay. And, yep. With the Russian country, there's something else going on. It's this neocon Bolton bullshit. And Trump is trying to negotiate his way into something. And what did we didn't even get to talk about the government shutdown and the wall thing. What's your opinion on that?
Well, the shutdown was, as usual, a bunch of hooey, because you basically hit, but a part of it was fascinating to see the media's boundless sympathy for the federal employees who were basically had a paid vacation with high anxiety. It sounded as if some of the media wanted to certify every laid off federal employee is suffering from PTSD. No, that's a mess. That's a mess. But this is a typical charade. But it's fascinating. You know, there's a lot of BS that Trump does, but it's almost as if the media is in some kind of competition and wants to do as much BS. It's frustrating.
Well, you know, I tell you, we've been doing for, God, coming up on 3 years, the Trump report. From the time that he came down the escalator, we've been, staying on this thing. And I go, it's just entertainment. I'm looking at it, I'm going, wow, this doesn't highlight everything. It's just so, and I love the way he, and he goes to, who's the press secretary? Sanders. And he goes, Pat, don't do press conferences anymore. Screw him. I got Twitter and I don't have any, newspaper. It's like having your own newspaper with no overhead. Screw him. And that was one thing I remember when he first was elected, the press was like, you're not going to be unpresidential and like fireside tweet or anything, are you? Hell yeah. And that's why they wanted to filter everything. And it just goes straight into the brains of the people. It's just, I know guys, they can't wait to get up in the morning. First thing they do is check Trump tweets. It's just amazing what is going on. But I can't get a beat on the end game. What is his goal? What do you got an idea?
No. I've been puzzled by a lot of the stuff he's done. I'm mortified by quite a bit of it. As I've pointed out online or in articles, there's a few things he seems like he's got good instincts on. Other times he's got terrible instincts. Some of his people, it's a mess. And but it seems like what's striking to me is so far the Democrat candidates for 2020 just seem to say that the answer is a whole lot more power for the government.
I know that's scary as hell.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like there is any, you know, well, at least we'll have Bill Weld.
God. I that is just so typical of are you kidding me? You know.
Well, there was a big conference earlier this month in D.C. and Weld was kind of the person who was doing their wrap up, doing an interview with Matt Welch, and the title for it was something like Bill Weld presents his vision for a radical centrist political campaign. I'm thinking, radical centrist. It's like, this is the same guy who went on, was it MSNBC and endorsed Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I
mean, this is like, okay, and you're going to bring him back?
Yeah, what was it he says? God, it wasn't endorsed. What was the word he used?
It was an endorsement. It was bullshit. It was, I mean, he was getting
vouch. Money. Vouch. He vouched for her.
Vouch. Well, yeah, you know, but
same thing, you know. It's a joke inside, and everybody's going, you going to go to the guy? I mean, I always go to the national conventions, certainly on presidential, just for grins and giggles and see friends and so on. But it is just really, I'm losing interest. And they had the state convention just last Saturday, and I didn't go because I just, you know, that's the first time I haven't gone to that. And like, because I got a lot of friends there, and I'm going, you know, I got a grandkid basketball game. Let me think for a second. Yeah, I think I'd rather go do that, you know. And, you know, for the 45 minutes of them running around, you know, a 4 and 6-year-old, I'm going, yeah, I was way better served. I got alternatives. Well, you know, keep me informed. I'm really glad you're there, you know. And when we were talking, you going, you know, you said, yeah, these programs are loved around here. And I'm going, around here? Where's here? You mean Washington? You mean here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You said it. Got you, man. But anyways, I'm looking forward to the revealing of the plan. It's always trust in Trump. You know, Trump's got, he's got a plan. Oh, yeah, that QAnon thing. What was your deal on that?
Haven't paid much attention to it.
It just was like a, you know, it was another psyop. And I go, my son was really into it, and it probably still is. And I just go, man, I've been around a while. I'm telling you, I recognize this. This is just more BS. You know, it's.
Yep. And there's so much of the BS out there. And hey, it's always fun to talk to you because you're hard line and you're much better informed than most people, and you kind of push back, and I appreciate that. As far as Trump's plan, shit, I don't know, and I don't know if he has one. It's kind of blundering from day to day, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rude surprises this year.
Yeah, I think it's art of the deal. You know, he's kind of, it's negotiating, he's doing, and then in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, is he going to shut down the government again? And, you know, everybody got their paychecks, quit your bitching, we'll just shut it down for a month at a time, and then we'll, you know, and they get vacations, because they're probably not bitching, because, hey, I got off and I get paid, you know, it's all good. So there's some weird crap going on, and I need your help, man, because I don't pay attention. I just freaking don't care. But, you know, I'd like to get the summary from Mr. James Bovard.
All right. Well, as I was saying, thanks for nudging. Thanks for pushing. I wish I had better answers. I wish I did. I mean, there's a lot of things that just that mystify me, and there's a lot of bullshit that's not worth chasing.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. You know, I leave it to you what's, you know, worth, and you're writing and sending stuff, and I'm glad you're digging up these past things, because damn. I got to get to my next
guest.
Oh,
they're a hoot. They're a hoot. Food stamp recruiting. And I was pushing the guy, and he says, well, you know, it's a new form of self-reliance. You got to know where the welfare office is. I don't think Henry David Thoreau would approve.